Our scripture reading for the day, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, laying aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary, fainting in heart.
And at the heart of the series is going to be a word that many of us know, but often have a difficult time defining very well. That word is faith. As we start this new year, we're going to be doing a series on faith. We're going to be looking at the book of Hebrews, especially in these chapters 11 and 12. We started off in 12 today. We're going to read backwards, I think. I've been reading forwards for a long time. I think I'll try reading backwards. But faith, what exactly is it? That's going to be one of our questions as we go forward. Faith is more. Let me just go out a couple things that it's not. Faith is more than wishful thinking. Faith is more than a blind leap. Faith is more than simply believing the right things. Though all of those things have something to do with what faith is, there is so much more. Faith is what brings us into proper alignment with God, whatever this faith is. Faith is what helps keep our life in balance. That's why it's so important for us to understand what the faith is about, what it is for us to hold on to it. And biblical faith has the power to not only change you and me, but change the world. And so this word, though it's a simple word, and though it's a kind of a multifaceted word, at least biblically, it's important for us to get a handle on what that is about. And that's why I'm glad we have chapters like Hebrews 11. The beginning here of Hebrews 12, where the biblical authors wanted us to know when we say the word faith, this is kind of what we are talking about. So we'll be looking at this, about how what this biblical faith is about, how to accept it, how to understand it, and how to begin to practice it. Because what we're going to see, quite honestly, folks, is that faith that has no legs to it, that doesn't work itself out in us, is really not being very practical for us at all. And this is the whole issue. Last year, we looked at the book of James. Remember, some of you were here for that, and we talked about that, about how it needs to have a practical outflow for us. And all the examples that are given here are going to include this idea of faith that begins to work itself through us. Okay. We begin with the admonition. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I like this verse as it starts off. There's nowhere in it that says the word faith, but this is the context that this verse is written in, that this race that we're invited to run is the life of faith. And that's what we are called to run, surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, running with perseverance the course that's marked out for us. Now, some of you know this about me. I had Val read the text today, primarily because he's a good runner. See, and so I wanted to have a runner do this. I when I was younger, okay, I'm an old dude now, but I used to be a runner myself. I think I was a pretty good runner. When I was in high school, I could beat most everybody. Well, I could actually. I was a good runner in high school. I was not a bad runner in college. I did a little running, and it was something that I found was just like my outlet. My outlet get the exercise, my outlet for that competition. It was something that I was good at, and so I worked on it to make it better. There was something really good that was life-giving for me. And then I found other things that were more important than running. like Lori, and you know, eventually a job, and you know, things like that. But yeah, no, it was a cool thing. But I always like verses like this because it reminds me of those days of when I was a runner, and I have that sense of there is a lot to that. When you're in a race, especially a long-distance race, and every part of track and field is different. Every event is different. But when you're a distance runner, it's different because you're not running as hard as you can for as fast as you can. You're having to set your course. And especially if you take it off the track and get out on the road or out on the cross country, you're having to make sure and stay on the course. And it's just, there is something about it. I love the fact that the Bible takes something that I could understand and says, this is kind of how the life of faith needs to be. You need to be intentional about setting your course for the end result, for the goal, for that finish line. You need to be able to push through the hard times in order to keep going to be able to get to that finish line. You have to be able to stay the course. You have to be able to continue on when you don't want to continue on. You know, when I was, I think I was 18 years old, I was running for Modesto Junior College. We had a really good team. We wound up being qualified for the state meet, and I remember going to the state meet thinking I'd really arrived. I wasn't that good. I was part of a team that was that good, and it was there that I almost met my friend Jeff Stopper, because I found out 40 years later that Jeff and I were both in that race in Balboa Park. That was one of my highlight moments because I was at the state meet. It was one of my low-light moments because I came in second to last. It was a horrible day. I tore up my ankle, twisted my ankle, at the first stretch I got pushed, hit something, messed it up, and I limped for the next 3 miles and came in next to last. I felt so bad, I just always was embarrassed. I said, I came in next to last. Until I met Jeff. And I found that Jeff ran that same race in Balboa Park. And I found out that Jeff was the guy who came in behind me. It was just one of those weird things. That he too had messed up his ankle that week before. He shouldn't have run at all. He was sick and he had a bad ankle. But he's not going to miss his one opportunity to run the state meet. He finished, and I beat him. I'm not sure that might have been the only time I ever beat Jeff, but we didn't run too often against each other. But it may have been. But there's something about running, and it's something about that perseverance of finishing. And I think that's one of the things I love about this text, because it says, it's like the runner, there's a lot of things that are going on. We need to run, it says, with perseverance. I love this quote from Charles Spurgeon, who said, it is by perseverance the snail reached the ark. Think about that. Because sometimes that's what it takes. Perseverance when you don't feel like pushing on anymore. But I also like this because it says that we have to run the course that is set out for us. This is beautiful because when it comes to the life of faith, sometimes we think, well, we're just walking into this thing blind. We're not. We are invited to run the course that God has marked out for us. And if he's marking it out for us, if we can trust in his goodness, we're going to see that it's okay, even if we're walking through even moments of deep and dark sadness, even if we're walking through valleys of shadow of death. It's going to be okay because God has marked out this course for us. Follow the course that's been set out before us. We don't have to guess. We can just continue to proceed on in this life of faith by this way. And also I like in this verse where it tells us that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And this is where we're going to go in these next few weeks, because what I did, I started at the end of this section here in chapter 12. It says we are to go, but there's a cloud of witnesses. There is a long list of people of faith who have gone before us, many that of names that you won't know, but there are ones that are in the Bible held up for us as examples of the faith, and that's what we'll be looking at over the course of these next few weeks. What is it that these people did in the way of examples for us and for the faith that we live? Now, there are going to be some familiar names, some names that you're going to say, I know these people, Noah, Abraham, Moses, David. But there's going to be some names that come up, and we'll start off with some unfamiliar ones even next week, looking at some that are less familiar, like Abel or Enoch or Gideon or Rahab. And you're saying, who are those people? I don't know those people. And that's okay, because we're going to be exploring what does it mean for them, what it was about their life that the biblical authors felt it was important to put forward to us that we might learn from their examples, that we too might run with endurance and perseverance the course marked out for us. So we're going to dig in. We're going to do a lot of Old Testament study. We're going to be looking at some of these things and these names and these people and their stories and what it means for us to begin to live more authentically and more biblically by faith as we move forward. Because faith is important, because we need to get a definition of what it is. This is what the Bible says that faith is. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. Because this is what the ancients were commended for. This is a partial definition of faith according to Hebrews 11 as it begins the chapter. And if you want to read the rest of the chapter this week, please go right ahead and do as you get a little bit of an advance notice on what we're going to be looking at in the weeks ahead. But this is where we start. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. So much of what our life, we want to have assurance. We want to have certainty. We want to know what's going to come next. We want to be able to control what the outcome is going to be. And yet faith requires that we not live by that certainty, not live by that control, because it calls us to something better and something deeper and bigger, which is trust in this God that we've been talking about, singing about, gathering and encouraging each other about. So what is this faith? If it is by grace we are saved through faith, it says, faith clearly is important. If this is how it is that we become to be saved, faith is clearly, clearly very important to us. So what is it, this faith, that we're talking about, this confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see? Well, there's a few things. I want to just lay some foundations here for us. These are some of the things that I'm going to call out and say, this is what faith is. Faith is knowing in your heart that God is. Okay? That God is. Faith is knowing in your heart that God is good. Faith is knowing in your heart that God cares for you. Faith is knowing in your heart that God is at work for your good. I'm going to continue, but I want to hold on to those just for a moment. Because those things, and if I hold them all right, now again, those aren't, I've got to hold these things, and if I hold them all right, then I'm going to be good. No, these are the things that begin to set us free. Because when we think that there is no God, or we think that we are in this on our own, life changes for us when we know that there is a God, and when we know that that God is good, and he is also on our side, and he has also not left us alone. No matter what may be going on around us, that changes the what may be going on around us. And this becomes critical for us. There's two more pieces to this, and one of them is going to be this. How does then that cause us to react to the world? We'll be talking about that a lot in these next few weeks. But also, there's the piece, the Jesus piece in this. I'm not talking about just some nebulous God, but there is a God. Not only is that God exist in that he is good and that he cares for you and he's at work for your good, but also that he gave his one and only son for you. Because he is good and because he's at work in you and around you. And he wants to restore you to his restored eternity and into your perfect condition that he designed you for. Because we can't save ourselves. You know, this becomes part of that faith. That's why later on, this is why the writer of Hebrews says this is the key for us as we begin to run this race, to make sure that our eyes are fixed on Jesus. Because though he is the assurance about what we cannot see, God gives us a glimpse and it gives us a focal point here. It says, you cannot see it all, but this is who you can know, is Jesus. And we are called to just set our sights on him and to allow him to begin to work. It's not a man-made religion. It's not about rules and in order. It's about a relationship with Jesus that becomes the foundational point. There is something so profound in these verses, and it invites us into a deeper thought about what does it mean for me to be a person who says I have faith or to walk by faith? What does it mean for me to be able to fix my eyes in Jesus, who is the perfecter and the pioneer of my faith? You know, who did all of this, going through the cross, scorning his shame, sitting down at the right hand of God. He considered that because of his deep love for us, that we put that at our forefront. So when we say we're going to be walking by faith, we need to say that we walk by faith by keeping our eyes on Jesus. But then we begin to, are able to move in faith in ways that we're going to see that it's going to just set us free. We're going to start that up next week. We're going to start up with Abel next week. And maybe you've heard the story. It's an old Testament story. Abel was one of the two sons of Adam and Eve. What about his story says that this is how we can begin to live by faith. We're going to be looking at that as we walk through this section and allow our faith to continue to grow and deepen as Jesus invites us to be his people in this world. So Father, I thank you for this, just for your word as it begins to open up to us. And I thank you for the faith. I thank you for that assurance of your goodness to us. I thank you that indeed your love for us never fails. I thank you that even in the midst of the darkest and deepest distressing times in our lives, you have not abandoned us, but yet you remain steadfast for us. Father, for each one who is here today, struggling with whether or not they can hold on to that belief that you are good, and that you are at work even when we cannot see it, even when we cannot fully know it. Father, I pray that there would be an extra measure of just of your grace holding us today. Help us to be able to celebrate your goodness today as we begin to look forward to all you have for us in this week and in the weeks ahead. In Jesus' name. Amen.